And welcome to DDP's Own Your Life. So what does that even mean, to own your life? Well, you're about to find out. Because this is the first inspirational audiobook that actually comes with its very own perspirational YRG DVD workout. Yeah, it's a workout for the body and the mind. And when your body and your mind are working as one, you are well on your way to owning your life. You know, the number one question that I'm asked is, what's the first thing you need to do to own your life? Well, that's an easy question. You got to get your head right. You got to get in the game. I mean, let's face it. There are only two things in this world that we control. The way we think, and the way we breathe. I mean, if you actually take the time to listen to this audiobook, and it may take you a couple of times of hearing it to really get the principles, and you take the time to follow what I'm teaching you in the YRG DVD workout, I promise you, you will own your life. You see, guys, in our personal lives and our professional lives, we're constantly hit with one adversity after another. I mean, most of them we have no control over. It's the way we react to the situation. It's how we take adversities that we're hit with and turn those negatives into positives. It's about how we adapt to the situation. It's about how we breathe. I believe in leading by example. So let's talk about my childhood for a second. You see, guys, by the time I was 3 years old, my mom was married, divorced, and had three kids. She was 19 at the time. When my parents split up, my brother and sister went to live with my mom, who in turn had my grandmother raise them because, well, she had to help support that side of the family. Me, I went to live with my dad. Why? Well, let's just say I had too much energy. I mean, there was no way my grandmother could have handled my infant sister, my one-year-old brother, and a three-year-old little wild man. Now, the problem was my pops. You know, I mean, he was 21 years old and full of testosterone. I mean, he was a wild man, too. I mean, back then, Dad couldn't even spell the word father, let alone be one. Now, when I was 8 years old, my dad finally brought me to live with my grandmother. He said he wanted me to have some family structure. That was the last time I would see my dad or talk to him when he was sober for the next 10 years. Now, I'm sure there are plenty of therapists out there who will tell you how much damage can be done to a kid raised like that. And you know what? They're right. But me, I was lucky. I was lucky because at a very early age, I started to figure out that life really was 10% of what happened to you and 90% of how you react to it. I mean, I think the positive side for all of us who ended up getting bounced around from one family to another, well, I think it helped most of us adapt to most situations. I mean, take me again. You know, I mean, I'm so adaptable. I mean, I can literally go from playing golf with doctors and lawyers on the golf course one day to riding motorcycles with the Hell's Angels the next, which isn't a bad thing. Because after a weekend with the Hell's Angels, good God, you often need a doctor or a lawyer. See, owning your life is all about being able to adapt to the situation. See, I just didn't grow up bouncing around from one family to another. I also grew up with ADD and dyslexia at a time when they didn't know what ADD or dyslexia was. Bottom line is, DDP couldn't read. At 30 years old, y'all, I was reading at about a third grade level. But at 31, I made a decision. The word decide, its Latin origin It means to cut off all possibilities. I made a decision that I was going to learn how to read proficiently. And then I set a goal for myself. I set a goal for myself that I was finally going to read a book from cover to cover. It's incredibly important to set goals. I can't tell you enough, and you've heard it a million times probably. But why? Why do you set goals? Well, for starters, you got to know where you're going if you ever hope to get there. I set a goal for myself. I was going to read a book from cover to cover. Now, I know that that doesn't seem like that big a deal to most of you. But for me, it was overwhelming. So I broke it down and I set smaller goals. That I was going to read one page from that book every day. And then I wrote that goal down. You see, guys, you must write down your goals. You got to apply SmackDown, which I'll get to in a moment. But you got to write your goals down. Why? Because you want to see them every day. Repetition is the mother of learning. You want to write down your goals because you want to look at them every day because you got to know where you're going if you ever want to get there. At 32 years old, I finally finished reading that book from cover to cover. Man, it seemed to take forever. So let me ask you a question. Have any of you out there ever taken on a goal that seemed absolutely impossible, but somehow you managed to accomplish that goal, even though it seemed to take forever? If you go back to when you accomplished that goal, I will guarantee if you dissect it, you will find that it will have everything to do with the way you were training your brain at that time. It was the way you were reacting to obstacles that were coming your way by turning negatives into positives. The way you were adapting to the situation, and it may even have something to do with the way you breathe. Okay, so let's summarize. What did I just talk about in that opening rant? What principles could help you learn to own your life? Well, for starters, you got to take control of the way you think. You have to have the ability to adapt to the situation. Adaptation and goal setting, they both go hand in hand. You see, I didn't become a wrestler until I was 35 years old. 35 years old. Everyone said I was nuts. They said I was crazy. They said it couldn't be done. I mean, imagine being 35 years old and trying out for the Lakers or the Yankees or the Dallas Cowboys at 35 years old. I don't think so. Guys don't start at that age. They retire. Like my buddy Stone Cold Steve Austin, who many consider to be the greatest wrestler of all time, he retired at 37. So I can understand why so many people thought I was nuts for starting at 35. But I was one of those guys who made a decision to set a goal that would not be denied. You see, guys, failure was not an option to me. So, what principles could help you learn to own your life? Well, for starters, principle number one, SmackDown. Go figure, right? Okay, as an acronym, S, specific. M, measurable. A, achievable. C, compatible. K, keep it going like your rituals. Smack. Down. Do it. Own it. Write it down now, not tomorrow. All right. When you apply SmackDown, you've got to look whatever your goal is going to be. Like I said, it's got to be specific. You got to measure it out so that you can figure out what period of time that you're going to achieve your goal. It's got to be achievable. Don't say you're going to run, you know, the 25-mile marathon and go out and try to run it that day. You got to start off slow. Don't set yourself up to fail. So set goals that are realistic. Make them achievable. Once you've done that, the most important key component here is compatible. Is it compatible to your lifestyle? Is it going to help you own your life, or is it going to frustrate you and set yourself up to fail? Make sure that you are compatible in the situation. That could be eating habits. That could be your mental thoughts, how you train your brain. Everything you're doing will come around that entire compatible area. And once you've done that, K, keep it going. This becomes your ritual. Now, if it may be doing YRG 3 days a week, you do it 3 days a week. You've set that goal. Don't set yourself up to do 5 days a week when you're not going to do it, unless it is what you want, because that's how you're going to own your life. And then you're going to do it. You're going to own it. It becomes part of your lifestyle. This is not a workout. This is not a diet. This is not a mind test. This is a lifestyle. You do it, you own it, and do it now, not tomorrow. I want to give you an example of someone who I really think did an unbelievable job with SmackDown. His name is Larry Smoky Genta. He wrote my first book with me, Positively Page. He's been one of my best friends for over 20 years. And over the years, my buddy, you know, like a lot of guys out there, you know, they'll gain like, you know, 4 or 5 pounds, you know, a year. And before you know it, they're 50, 60, 70, 80 pounds overweight. And that can be detrimental to your health. And my boy Smokey was 5'9", 270 pounds. Now, for years, I tried to get Smoke to work out. I tried to get him on some kind of program, and there was nothing that he would want to do. And then he started seeing me develop the YRG, Own Your Life technique, and it sort of hit him. And when it hit him, he said, you know what, I want to try that. So I said, well, if you want to try that, you might as well forget it. Do you want to do it? Do you want to own it? A week later, he calls me back. He says, I want to own it. I said, Smoke, before you even start, you got to apply SmackDown. Let's get specific. What do you want to lose? Well, he said, well, I'd like to lose like 70 pounds. I said, well, let's make it 50 pounds. You see, when you're setting goals, you never want to set yourself up to fail. Smokey was 14 months from 50. So I said to him, Smoke, let's say 14 months, you lose 50 pounds. That's like 3 pounds a month. I mean, you can do that. That's specific. It's also measurable. Now, is it achievable? Absolutely. But the key component here, is it compatible? If you're going to set a goal like losing 50 pounds in 14 months, you've got to do some kind of cardiovascular workout. YRG is what we provide. And you've got to change the way you eat and think. And that's where it starts. So that's got to make it compatible. And once you've realized what that is, well, then you got to keep it going. SMACK. Specific, measurable, achievable, compatible, and keep it going. This is what becomes your ritual. And right there, he started to do it. He started to own it. He wrote it down now. That's what SmackDown is all about. Now, you're going to hear this in Smokey's own words when you get over to the DVD section in the Get Inspired. But let me tell you what Smokey did. 7 months and 3 weeks into the workout, into owning his life, Smokey lost 73 pounds and 58 inches. Now, that's impressive. Principle number 2, break down the goals. In other words, if you're going to try to lose 50 pounds in a year, well, break that down to 12 months. So all of a sudden, you're losing 4 pounds a month. You're not losing 50 pounds this month. Don't set yourself up to fail. It's a key component here. You've got to set yourself up to win. One of my favorite failures, not an option stories, is a young friend of mine named Cody Runnels. It's Dusty Rhodes' son, for any wrestling fans out there. And I remember his junior year, he went undefeated in wrestling, not predetermined, you know, the real high school stuff. He went 48-0. Now, the next year, he lost his 11th match. And I remember I called him up, and he was like, I said, oh, man, how you doing? He's like, oh, God, Dallas, I lost. I can't believe it. I was like, thank God. He goes, why would you say that? I said, Cody, do you think you'd learn anything from winning? You learn from losing. You learn from falling down. It's not about how many times you go down that counts. It's about how many times you get back up. It's what you do with your failures and how you turn them into success. I said, would you rather have met this guy in the finals or the semifinals of the States and lost to him? He goes, I got your point. The funny part is the same kid that Cody beat in the finals of the state championship tournament was the same kid that he lost to earlier that season. I mean, what's the odds of that? But it does prove a point. You can always learn from your mistakes. Cody had plans to come to L.A. to hone his acting skills if he had won the state championship. Now, after the match, after he won, I came up to him and I said, so did you make your decision or what? He said, I made my decision before I even got here. I said, what do you mean you made your decision before you ever got here? Because if you didn't win, you were going to go to college. He said, I knew I was going to win. I said, really? He said, because Dallas, he goes, failure was not an option. And I was like, wow, coming from an 18-year-old kid, I understand that principle. Because when it came to being a wrestler and being a main event guy, failure was never an option to me. I mean, everyone said that I couldn't do it. It made my work ethic. You've got to find whatever it is that makes your work ethic take it to a different level. Some people love to be told, you can't do something because it gives them drive. I'm one of those people. Some people get knocked down. For those people, I'm telling you, nobody can do more damage to you than you. Find whatever it is that gives you that energy, that gives you that drive, that passion, that power, and make it your own. Principle number three, you must see it. The vision must be clear. You've got to actually see yourself at that weight, at that shape, at that flexibility, in that youth, in your mind. You must believe for you to achieve. I mean, that's probably one of the most used cliches ever. You want to know why? Because it works. You want to know a secret? Don't ever use the words, I can't. Now, if you have to say it, if it slips out, say yet. I can't yet. You see, guys, it's the yet that makes it possible. I just got back from Iraq. That's the second time I've been there, and it's probably the most inspirational thing I do for them, but also for me, because these guys are my heroes over there. And I wanted this time to go there and speak to them and inspire them to believe that anything is possible and also take them through the YRG workout. And I couldn't believe we got like 50, 60, 70 guys some nights doing YRG with DDP. It was amazing. And during the workout, when they're going through this workout that they've never done before, because none of them ever done yoga, I would start to do different moves to show them what was possible. And after the workout, I do this thing where I put my hands on the ground and then I put my elbows on my knees and I balance myself. It's called a crow position. And then I push up into a military press and then push myself off the ground. And then I look around at the guys and go, and I'm 50. And it was this one big guy, man, about 6'3", about 220. He goes, man, I will never be able to do that. And I just looked him right in the eye and said, you're right. And he looked at me like a German shepherd with that cockeyed look like, oh, I get it. You mean if I don't see myself doing it, I never will be able to. I said, exactly. You've got to see it. And trust me, if I can do this, well, how old are you? He was 24. I said, trust me, you can do it. It may take some time. It may take some work, but you can do it. You can do anything. And that's really what that message was all about. It's all about that you can do anything as long as you put your mind to it, as long as you envision it. Principle number 4, own your breath. You've heard me talk about it already quite a bit, but what does it really mean to own your breath? Well, how you breathe has everything to do with the way you think. I believe that before you can really own your mind, your mindset, the way you train your brain, you must teach yourself how to breathe like you were when you were a child again. I mean, go watch anybody's infant, or if you have one, go watch them breathe in the crib. As they lay there and as they're breathing, effortlessly their stomach fills up with air. And when they exhale, their belly contracts back to the back of their spine. Inhale, fill that belly full of air. Exhale, their little belly goes right back down to their spine. Why don't you try that right now? I mean, you could be driving in a car. Just put your hand on your belly. Take a deep breath in. And exhale. There's a really good chance your stomach either went nowhere, or when you took that breath in, your belly was pulled back to the back of your spine as you sucked your stomach in and filled your chest with air. And as you exhaled, your belly relaxed. So why? Why would that be? Why do we not breathe the same way we did when we were a child? Well, for starters, they don't have a care in the world. You do. I mean, look at the gas prices, the war in Iraq, the rising percentages of the interest rates. I mean, it's crazy. It's called life. So what do you want to do? You want to go back and own your life. And you want to grab a hold of your breath because it's the most important thing we do. So let's try this exercise, all right? Try just breathing in and try to fill that belly full of air. Try to push it out like Santa Claus. And when you exhale, pull that belly back to the back of your spine. Inhale, try to fill it up. I mean, really try to push it out as far as you can. And when you exhale, just pull it back to your spine. Now, once you've mastered this, now this took me months. This didn't happen overnight. Repetition is the mother of learning. Once you have mastered, though, when you can knowingly breathe in and fill that belly full of air and exhale, pull your belly back to your spine, try doing it on a 3 count. Will you breathe in? 1, 2, 3. Exhale. 1, 2, 3. Then build it to 5 seconds. Then build it to 10. When you can breathe, where you can breathe in for 20 seconds and then exhale for 20 seconds and then breathe in for 20, you are owning your life. Because at that point, it's going to happen to you instinctively. You're going to be back to breathing like a child again. Now, certain bang disasters are going to happen. Adversities are going to come your way that you have no control over. The first thing that's going to react in you is your breath. When you grab a hold of it, well, it will calm you down. It'll give you focus. Now, here's a perfect example of me teaching me how to breathe. See, guys, I had just gotten back from Iraq. Now, I'm not a big believer of the war, but I am a huge supporter of our troops. I mean, these kids grew up watching me in their living rooms every Monday and Thursday night and every Saturday and Sunday morning. So I'm like family to them. And for me to be able to pick up their morale, well, I think it's one of the coolest things I get to do. I mean, every morning I'm up at 6 a.m. and I'm hopping on Black Hawk helicopters. And we are flying in and out of field operation bases, one after another. And this goes on to like midnight. Well, this time I was in Iraq, I got to do more than just sign autographs and take pictures with the world championship belt. I actually got to spend some real quality time with the guys. I was telling stories, telling jokes. We had them all laughing. And I even got an average of 50 guys a night working out with me, doing YRG with DDP. It was probably one of the best bonding experiences I ever had out there. I mean, it was so cool. Now, the trip back from Iraq, well, it's about 38 hours. So you can only imagine the jet lag and how disoriented I was when I got home. Now, a long story short, I drop my wallet and all my IDs and credit cards and my passport in a black hole when I get home. Now, that wouldn't be that big a deal, except for the following week I have to leave for South Africa to film another movie. So I'm panicked. I'm like freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, I can't find my wallet or my passport. Within the first 20 minutes, I start to breathe and I realize it's gone. How do I adapt to the situation? Now, if I was not trained to own my breath, who knows how long I would have stressed myself out. But as soon as I finally just took myself into that breathing, I'm not talking about meditation, even though this is a form of meditation. I'm talking about just that deep belly breathing that I'm teaching you. As soon as I did, my mind cleared. I got focused. And then I realized, you know what? Get up earlier in the morning. Then you were going to get up, go get your license, cancel your credit cards, and just change everything and take control of my life as opposed to letting the lost wallet and passport own my life. Principle 5. Be persistent. Now, I call it pleasantly persistent. You don't want to become a pain in the ass. But you've got to be persistent because there's going to be a lot of people out there when you set that goal for yourself that's going to tell you, no way, man. I mean, you can't do that. It's funny how people always tell you why you can't do something. I'm telling you that you can do anything. As long as that goal is a vision in your mind, is crystal clear, as long as you are pleasantly persistent and stay driven, because the cream will always rise to the top. Another cliche, but it's a cliche because it's real. If you continue to work and you become the last man standing, you will find your way to the top, because work ethic will build you respect. Respect from your peers that will help you achieve your goals. No matter what goal I am trying to achieve, let's say in wrestling, here's a place that no one ever thought I could ever be a top guy. I mean nobody, except for me. You got to believe in yourself too. But it's that work ethic that gives you visibility. People see you working your butt off and they want to reach out and give you a hand. But the person who sits back and stays out, give me a hand. Well, how many people just want to say, well, let me help you up? You got to show the work ethic to earn the respect. Principle 6, adaptation. Being adaptable to the situation. To me, probably one of the most key components you could have when it comes to fulfilling your goal. When it comes to owning your life, you must be adaptable to the situation. Being flexible in the mind before I could be flexible in the body. Your mind has to be flexible to the situation. You have to be able to adapt to whatever comes your way, whatever adversity, and find a way to turn that negative into a positive. At 42 years old, I was on top of the world. I was in one main event after the other. I was on The Tonight Show, Regis, Hollywood Squares. I was doing movies. I mean, I was living the dream. And then, bang! I ruptured my L4 and L5 so badly that 3 different doctors said that my wrestling career was over. Now, over that time, I'm home. I'm in bed. So I get to see Kimberly every night coming up from downstairs soaking wet. And I was like, what are you doing down there? And she's like, I'm doing yoga. I'm like, yeah, right.
I had been trying to get Dallas to do yoga for a long time. His body was a mess. He was having a hard time getting out of bed in the morning. I kept telling him, yoga has done so much for me, buddy. You remember me. 2 years ago, I had terrible hip pain from two old stress fractures. I had knee pain. I had lower back pain and sciatica. Yoga took that all away. I was running again. I was feeling great. Yoga had literally stripped years off my bones.
I'm not doing that crap. It's for sissies.
Next thing you know, he's adapted to the situation. He's worked around his limitations. And now Diamond Dallas Page is a yogi. That just goes to show you that anything is possible.
My mind was inflexible to the idea of doing yoga. That's why I understand all you guys who don't want to do yoga. Remember, this is YRG. But I understand that psychology. But as soon as my mind became flexible, within 3 weeks, my body started to become flexible. It started to become stronger. Within 3 months, I was back in the ring. At 42 years old, the doctors said my wrestling career was over. At 43, I was the heavyweight championship of the world. Principle 7, make people care. Now, what does that even mean? How do you make people care? Well, think about this. When I used to come through the curtain and 20,000 people would be there, I knew that they knew. And they knew that I knew. And I knew that they knew that me and my partner both knew who was going to win before I came out the curtain. How do we make them care? Well, work ethic. It's what you do out there when you get in front of these people. Like when I would go out there and wrestle with a guy that everyone knew was going to lose. How did I make them care? Because I made this other guy that I was in the ring with look so good that they were like, oh my God, maybe he's going to beat DDP. And then out of nowhere, bang, I surprised them. In 1995, I was getting what's called a push in professional wrestling, and they were going to give me a couple of wins. But like I told you, no one really believed in me. So they're never going to let me beat anybody who meant anything. And everyone pretty much knows if you've got a rap CD or a rock and roll or country, whatever it is, you may have the greatest CD in the world. If it never gets heard, if it never gets any airtime, you're never going to sell anything. In professional wrestling, it works. If you never beat anybody who means anything, the people will never care. So how did I get those people to care? Because they never let me beat anybody. Make the other guy look good because it makes you look better. So I would go out there and try to make my opponent look like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Dusty Rhodes, Sting, Hogan, Nash, Hall. I would make him look like the top guy in the company. And all of a sudden, he goes from me kicking his butt to him beating me all over the ring. And the people are like, oh my God, oh my God. And then bang! Out of nowhere, I'd hit him with my diamond cutter, my finish, my symbol, my brand. And it exploded the people because I made him look better, which made me look better. Principle number 8, create a personal brand and own it. You see, for me personally, I created the diamond cutter sign. It became how people got to know me, and no one will ever be able to take that brand sign away from me, Jay-Z. It's mine. It's how I've been identified with when I walk out there and 20,000 people would raise their hands because they wanted to be part of it and show that they knew what I was about. So how do people identify with you when you walk into the ring? Do they give you a full hearty handshake? Or do they give you the finger? You get what I mean. I really knew that the diamond cutter sign, my personal brand, was getting over in 1997. I was in South Carolina. We were leaving the arena there. Like 20,000 people are all leaving at the same time. And you know what it's like. The traffic jams just load up there. So we have a lane that we call the wrestler lane. And, you know, that's the lane where everybody's, you know, coming in. But nobody's driving in on that lane. So you just take that, you know, going in the wrong direction. Get up to the light. drive through it and take off because we got to drive 250 miles to Atlanta. So sure enough, cops pull me over. Now, I got my license and the registration in my hand. I'm responsible for my own actions. I'm going to take the ticket. Well, this cop is so mad. I can hear him using profanities that I will not say on this CD before I even get the chance to open the window. When I'm sliding down the window, he's got the flying saucer brim state trooper hat on, and he is just running up and down. He won't let me get a word in, and I'm just taking this tongue lashing. He's cutting like a mega wrestling promo on me. And finally, the 7'1", 500-pound Big Show leans across me. Now, the cop must have thought it was a bear or something because he jumps back. Big Show, you think he's going to start to yell at me. He goes, "Sir?" He goes, "We're really sorry, but the fans were banging on our truck, and we've got to drive 250 miles to get to the next town." And the cop just looks at him, looks at me, looks at him, looks at me, and he makes the diamond cutter sign. He goes, and he's shaking. He goes, "Oh my God, Bang Man!" He goes, "Big Show!" He goes, "Dallas Diamond Page!" I go, "We're Diamond Dallas Page." He goes, "That's it." He goes, "Oh my God, man, I love you. Oh God." And he's in circles. And I said, "Get the pictures out. Let's start signing these right now." The bottom line is this man identified with Diamond Dallas Page and my brand sign. So let me ask you again. When you walk into that office, how are you greeted? Like you ran that red light? Or are you greeted with the warmth and the caring of that individual who wants to help you? Think about it. Principle number 9, and I believe the most important component to your success, relationships. See, everybody will tell you in this world it's all about who you know or who knows you. But I'm here to tell you it's all about who's willing to say they know you. Who's willing to put their name on the line for you. And that's going to go back to a lot of what I just talked about. It's going to come back to your work ethic. Can they depend on you? Can they know but putting their name on the line for you is going to make them look like a hero and not a zero? Now, that same work ethic that I've talked about earlier in this CD is the same work ethic that's going to help you build relationships because people are going to notice you. You're going to become more visible, like what we talked about earlier. You're going to become more visible because of your work ethic, your creativity, your loyalty, your dependability, which is going to make people want to put their name on the line for you. Now, I know it feels like sometimes it's never going to happen for you. I mean, sometimes you feel like you keep giving and giving to everyone, but no one's helping you. You got to remember that no one can do more damage to you than you. You've got to look for the positive in everything and be patient. I mean, don't spend your useless energy worrying about things that you cannot control. I once heard Pat Croce, the former owner of the NBA 76ers, say, "Worry is an exaggeration of the imagination." I mean, ain't it the truth? I mean, if you want to reach a goal that everyone around you says is impossible, you must stay focused. You must stay positive. And you're going to have to believe. Believe in yourself. Now, I know this from experience because at 39 years old, I started to earn the respect of a few key players in WCW. Hulk Hogan, Dusty Rhodes, Eric Bischoff, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Randy Savage. These guys all saw in me what I believed for years, and they were ready to put their name on the line for me. And as soon as they did, at 39 years old, I finally had my toe in the door. At 40, I kicked that sucker down. And it was all because of the relationships that I built. It was those men who were willing to put their names on the line for me that allowed that to happen. The most important relationship I made in professional wrestling was the one I made with the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. I mean, I always tell people, if there was no Dusty Rhodes, there is no Diamond Dallas Page. You see, Dusty gave me my big break. Now, let me tell you how it all came together. One night, I was laying in bed. I was really sick. Around 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call, and it's Mike Graham from Florida Championship Wrestling. He tells me that him and Dusty are sitting there. Dusty's coming into Florida Championship Wrestling to pop the territory, and he's been telling them all about me, but he's never seen my work. So what he wants me to do is to cut this wrestling promo on him and blow him away. And I'm like, no, Mike, I can barely talk. I got strep throat, but I can't talk to Dusty. Hello? Good God, Dusty Rhodes, the Tower Power, the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, getting funky like a monkey in Florida with DDP. And I just went on a rant. I stole everything Dusty ever said and probably everything every other guy ever said, rolled every cliche into one with a couple of my own. And I got to the end of it. And I was like, Dream, that's all I got. I got strep throat. I'm not really feeling well. Hello, Dusty? Are you there? I thought he hung up on me. What a ribber he is. Next thing I know, I hear, was that a recording, kid? Well, that was the beginning, day one of my relationship with the Dream. And I would continue to go up to Florida Championship Wrestling once I got the job and really study under the Dream whenever I had any free time out of the nightclub business. And I learned a lot from him, and he took me in as he became my mentor. So when he left Florida Championship Wrestling, he went to the World Wrestling Federation. I stayed in touch with him, first of all, out of respect and wanted him to continue being my mentor. But you have to continue when someone leaves where you are, you have to stay pleasantly persistent. You've got to stay in touch with them. You have to make the effort. It's up to you if you're going to succeed or not. And I really enjoyed being around the Dream. And when it came to him coming to World Championship Wrestling, I was the first guy that he brought in. And that's how you build relationships. Who in your life can help you? Who can you find to be your mentor? You see, you won't believe how many people will actually step up and want to help someone who's hungry, who's got heart, who wants to work to achieve a goal. Just don't come in there with your hand out wanting something. You've got to have a plan. And then apply the platinum rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And you will start to build some serious life-changing relationships. Principle number 10, reinvent yourself and own your life. Now, when I think of someone who reinvents themselves on a constant basis, Cher pops right into my head. Or how about Bo Duke from Dukes of Hazzard? John Snyder. Now, here's a guy who's constantly reinventing himself. I mean, after the Dukes of Hazzard run is over, John reinvents himself as a country music singer and has 4 number one hits. After that, he goes and he sings on Broadway. The last few years, you can catch John Snyder playing the dad of Superboy on the hit show Smallville. But when he's not acting, this cat is writing, directing, and producing. I've been reinventing myself since I was a little kid. And I went from the jock to being the nightclub guy, running nightclubs for about 13 years. From there, I wanted to be a wrestler. So I become the manager, the color commentator, and then they tell me I can't do that anymore, so I become the wrestler at 35 years old. At 36, I tore my rotator cuff and they fired me. At 37, I got my job back. You see, you must believe in you. You must believe in the decisions that you make. But it's going to take more than just belief. Like I've told you before, it's going to take work ethic. Work ethic. I mean, I've punched a few things in my life, but I've never punched a time clock. And I work 24/7. You see, guys, I am constantly setting and resetting goals, like being an actor. The most gratifying reinvention I've ever done for myself personally would sound like the most absurd to anyone who doesn't really know Diamond Dallas Page. Let me put it like this. What's the antithesis of a yogi? I don't know. Maybe a wrestler? I mean, think about it. the guy who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga at one time develops his own brand of yoga called YRG. Yoga for regular guys. YRG with DDP is changing the world one regular guy and gal at a time. Now that's powerful. All right? You know, I get out to Hollywood, you know, and I enrolled Howard Fine's acting studio because I'm going to study acting. I'm not just gonna, because I'm a wrestler, going to think I'm an actor, because we all wrestlers are actors. But I want to study the craft. So I go to Howard Fine's acting studio, and I really study. Now, along with that, you got to take meetings. It's part of the business. And I will never forget one of my first big meetings I had out here with a big producer. And he knew my career, and he wanted to meet me. He actually even read Positively Page, my first book. And we get done with the meeting, and I just feel like it's going great. And we get to the end of it, and he goes, "You know, Diamond, you've accomplished so much in your life. I mean, you've lived the American dream. You've lived your dreams." He goes, "Now, to come out here and, you know, do that again and, you know, recreate yourself as an actor now," he goes, "for what you did in the beginning when you were a wrestler," he goes, "that was one in a billion. The odds of you reduplicating that again out here as an actor, I got to tell you, my friend, it's going to be impossible." And he just looked at me. And I just totally was right in eye to eye looking at him. And I said, "I think you're wrong." And he goes, "Really?" He goes, "What makes you say that?" I said, "You see, I know how I did it the first time. And that's how I know I'm going to be successful the second time. Because I'm going to apply the same 10 principles that I'm teaching you right here. This is how I made it as a professional wrestler. This is how I went from a bottom, getting the hell kicked out of me job guy who got beat every week, to becoming a world champion. And so can you. It is the power of reinvention. If you apply these 10 principles to your life on a daily basis, anything's possible. I mean, because if I can do it, surely you can. Surely you can own your life."